Good day, everybody. This is Jerry from Rhapsody Tours. On April 15th, 1912, at approximately 2:20 a.m., the Titanic, the largest moving and most advanced object in the world, sank in the North Atlantic, taking with her over 1,500 souls. How could this have happened? What caused Titanic to sink? We'll spend the next few minutes looking at the possibilities. Well, let's start at the beginning. Could it have been the ship's designer, Thomas Andrews, fault? The belief that the ship was unsinkable was in part due to the fact that Titanic had 16 watertight compartments. The lower section of Titanic was divided into 16 major watertight compartments that were designed so they could easily be sailed off if part of the hull were punctured and leaking water. After the collision with the iceberg, the hull portion of 6 of these 16 compartments was damaged. Sealing off the compartments was completed immediately after the damage was realized, but as the bow of the ship began to pitch forward from the weight of the water in that area of the ship, the water in some of the compartments began to spill over into adjacent compartments. Although the compartments were called watertight, they were actually only watertight horizontally. The tops were open, and the walls extended only a few feet above the waterline. The White Star did not want them to go all the way up because this would have reduced living space in first class. It has been said that if Mr. Andrews, the ship's architect, had insisted on making them the correct height, then maybe Titanic would not have sunk. Realistically, the sinking would have been slowed, possibly for enough time for nearby ships to help. But because of the extensive flooding in the bow compartments and the subsequent flooding of the entire ship, the Titanic would have eventually pulled below the waterline. Was it the shipbuilder's fault? About 3 million rivets were used to hold the sections of Titanic together. Some of the rivets have been recovered from the wreck and analyzed. The findings showed that they were made of a substandard iron, high in sulfur. When the ship hit the ice, the force of the impact caused the heads of the rivets to break and the sections of the Titanic to come apart. They also failed because of a brittle fracture from the high impact loading of the collision with the iceberg and the low temperature water the night of the disaster. The speed the ship was traveling was also a factor. With the ship traveling at nearly 25 miles per hour, contact with the iceberg was probably a series of impacts that caused the rivets to fail. If good quality iron rivets had been used, the sections may have stayed together and the ship may not have sunk. What about the steel hull itself? The first hint that brittle fracture of the hull contributed to the Titanic disaster came following the recovery of a piece of the hull steel from the Titanic wreck. After cleaning the piece of steel, the scientists noted the condition of the edges. Jagged and sharp, the edges of the piece of steel appeared to be almost shattered, like a broken china. Also, the metal showed no evidence of bending or deformation. Technically, high-quality ship steel is more ductile and deforms rather than breaks. Something that I found sad was that similar behavior was found on the damaged hull steel of Titanic's sister ship, the Olympic, after a collision while leaving the harbor on September 20, 1911. A 36-foot-high opening was torn into the starboard side of Olympic's hull when a British cruiser broadsided her. Failure of the rivet joints and ripping of the hull plates were apparent in the areas of the impact. However, the plate tears exhibited little plastic deformation and the edges were unusually sharp, having the appearance of brittle fractures. Was it Bruce Ismay's fault? Bruce Ismay was the managing director of the White Star Line and was aboard the Titanic. Competition for Atlantic passengers was fierce, and the White Star Line wanted to show that it could make a six-day crossing. To meet this schedule, Titanic could not afford to slow down. It is believed that Ismay put pressure on Captain Smith to maintain the speed of the ship. Was it Captain Smith's fault? This was Captain E.J. Smith's retirement trip. All he had to do was get to New York in record time. Captain Smith said years before the Titanic voyage, "I cannot imagine any condition which would cause a ship to founder. Modern shipbuilding has gone beyond that." Captain Smith ignored 7 iceberg warnings from his crew and other ships. If he had called for the ship to slow down, maybe the Titanic disaster could have been averted. Was it Captain Lord's fault? The final iceberg warning sent to Titanic was from the California, captained by Stanley Lord. She stopped for the night about 19 miles north of Titanic. At around 11:15, California's radio operator, Cyril Evans, turned off his radio and went to bed. Sometime after midnight, the crew on watch reported seeing rockets being fired into the sky from a big liner. Captain Lord was informed, but it was concluded that the ship was having a party. No action was taken by the California. If the California had turned on its radio, she would have heard the distress messages from Titanic and would have been able to reach the ship in time to save all the passengers. After the disaster, there were 2 inquiries, an American and a British, and both reached almost identical conclusions. The American inquiry concluded that Captain Smith should have slowed the speed of the boat down given the icy weather conditions. The British inquiry, on the other hand, concluded that maintaining speed in icy weather conditions was a common practice. Both inquiries agreed on who was most at fault: Captain Stanley Lord of the California. The inquiry stated that if Lord had gone to Titanic's assistance when the first rocket was seen, everybody would have been saved. Both investigations also found that many safety rules were simply out of date, and both inquiries made recommendations. Numerous safety improvements for ocean-going vessels were implemented, including improved hull and bulkhead design. Speed should be reduced in ice, fog, or any other possible areas of danger. Access throughout the entire ship made available for all passengers. Sufficient lifeboats for the number of passengers on board. The investigators also learned that Titanic had sufficient lifeboat space for all its first-class passengers, but not for the lower classes. In fact, most third-class passengers had no idea where the lifeboats were, much less any way of getting to the upper decks where the lifeboats were stowed. Improved life vest design, holding safety drills, and better passenger notification. They also concluded that the ship's radio should be manned 24 hours a day. All these recommendations to me seem like common sense, but if you consider the era and how quickly technology was changing then, I could see how some of these mistakes could have fallen through the cracks. But even now, 100 years later, I cannot rationalize how all of them could have happened. I would like to think we can learn from our mistakes, but I have seen time and again, when the bottom line is a major factor, safety quite often takes a back seat. Okay, that's it for today's video. If you would like information on the Ireland, the birthplace of Titanic tour, visit us at www.rhapsodytours.net. That's Rhapsody, R-H-A-P-S-O-D-Y, tours.net. Or you can reach us on Facebook at the Ireland, the birthplace of Titanic page, or on Twitter at Rhapsody Tours. If you have any comments, we'd love to see them. In our next video, we'll be looking at the movies featuring Titanic. Until then, have a wonderful day.